When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Billy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
It's always fun to talk to you, and we're excited to do so. I've been dying to ask you this question most of the year. I'm just so curious. When you think about the way you guys are playing and the sort of faster, different pace of the game, and certainly the three-point shooting, et cetera, is that you adopting your style of play to the team that you have, or is that the changing nature of the NBA?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. I think anytime, as a coach, you're going into a season, you have to look at your personnel and, how does that personnel play together collectively, and how do you take advantage of each individual guy's skill set. And, I think I said, even last year, as much as we maybe needed to play a little bit faster on missed shots, we had some very, very high IQ, intelligent players that, were really, really good at reading defenses. And, we were probably a lot more of a half-court team. And that was probably more my decision on what I thought was best for our team, last year, last couple of years. And, I've always been kind of a coach that's always played up tempo, but I also think you've got to try to utilize the skill set to the best of your ability with your personnel. I think this year with our team, and certainly a lot of younger guys getting more of an opportunity, one is I do think, the trending in the NBA of the way the game is going, no question. But also I think, we had talked about even before the season started that we were going to be somewhat challenged defensively, and certainly we got to keep getting better and trying to get better. But the one thing I think for our group is if we could play faster and more in the open court, that would probably suit, this group better.
Billy, we could have introduced you as the longest tenured Chicago coach, but I think that's a credit to what you've been able to do in with the Bulls. And just curious, not needing you to weigh in on the other moves that other teams have made in the city, but if you could speak to just how different the challenges might be in Chicago, how difficult it might be for somebody like you to have tenure established and to be able to function in an environment that can be quite challenging at times.
Yeah, the one thing I think that happens, at least, and again, this is more of an overview of my thoughts, because, when there's seasons going on like the Blackhawks season or the Bears season or our season, you don't really get a chance to maybe follow as much because you're so entrenched in what you're doing in the fall and in the winter, right? But I mean, in talking about professional sports, you know, one of the things that I've seen happen is, you know, my time, you know, in college, I was always around a lot of NBA coaches, from Jeff Van Gundy to Rick Carlisle, when Eric Spoelstra was down in Miami, Stan Van Gundy and Steve Clifford when they were in Orlando, you know. And one of the things that they always talked about, and Jeff had talked about this with me, you know, when he first started out as an assistant coach with the Knicks, it was the trainer, the head coach, and three assistants. I think what's happened is, and again, this is not speaking about the Bears or the Blackhawks or the Cubs or the White Sox. I just don't know those situations. But just being in a professional environment, the staffs have grown immensely. You know, they've gotten so big. And I know just even in the NBA, you know, you're dealing with an entire medical team that helps try to keep these guys playing on the court, available and healthy. You know, you obviously have got front offices that have continued to expand. You have coaching staffs that have continued to expand. You have player development groups that have continued to expand. So you bring in a lot of people, you know, and I think in a lot of ways, sometimes the issue is not competency at all. It's about how well a group can function together. And you can see how things can get with the number of people, you know, challenging, you know, and I think it comes down to how well, you know, you want your team as a coach to sacrifice, to play together, to be unselfish, you know, to root for the next guy, to lift the next guy up, to make the group better. And I've always been a big believer, as you know, as it relates to our coaching staff, we can't expect our players to do those things if we're not doing those things as a staff, you know, first and foremost. And I think in order to, you know, function at a high level organizationally, there's a lot of people that need to all be on the same page. And you can kind of see how things can get very, very challenging if you don't have, first and foremost, really good relationships. And the mentality of, what am I doing, you know, in my position to make the people around me better? What are my assistant coaches doing to make the people around them better? And that doesn't necessarily always include the players, it just includes organizationally. So, you know, I think that's always been very, very important to me because, you know, the season of 82 games is very, very challenging. And you're dealing with guys in and out. You're dealing with a guy in a slump. You're dealing with a guy that maybe he's not playing as well as he wants to, or you're dealing with a guy that's not in the rotation or playing as much as he wants. When you're dealing with all those things, and now you're dealing with dysfunction, you know, inside your staff or relational issues inside your staff, it becomes incredibly difficult to manage. And I think the one thing we've had here since I've been here, and again, I'm not speaking for any other team in the city, I'm just talking about here, there's been a lot of, I think, direct, open conversation, transparency. It doesn't mean that we always agree or always on the same page. But what it does mean is, okay, we're going to row the boat in the same direction as best we can, you know, and we're all going to work together as best we can. And I do think that the one thing for me that's important is the relational piece, you know, with ownership, with front office, with the medical, with the player development, with our team. You know, you have to be able to, I think, have these conversations. Like I said, it's not always easy conversations, but you have to have them. And it takes a lot to try to keep everybody moving in the same direction.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
That's a really interesting answer. And as long as we're not talking specifically about basketball, let me ask you one more. Belichick goes to coach in college. Now, you coached in college. You came into the NBA. You've done a reversal of what he's doing, and I've seen other people do it. I just wonder your thoughts on a guy who's like maybe the best football coach we've ever seen in the professional level, now going to the college game as we're in a world of NIL and transfer portal and a world that you didn't even have to deal with.
Right. Well, you know, the one thing I really feel fortunate about, and I've said this before, when I was at Florida, you know, going through good times or bad times or whatever, I always tried to reach out to different coaches. And I really was able to develop a really good relationship with Coach Belichick. And we spent a lot of time together. And I think because of him really being heavily involved in the NFL draft and putting together his teams in New England for so many years, he spent a lot of time even on Florida's campus with Florida coaches as he, you know, was getting prepared for the draft. And I'd imagine he went all around the country meeting with players, meeting with coaches. The one thing that's very interesting about him is I think he's a lifelong learner. He's always looking to learn. And I think his relationships run really, really deep. They run really, really deep at the NFL level. They run really, really deep at the college level. And I would even say the high school level. He is very, very in love with coaching the game of football, getting teams to perform at the highest level. And I do think the year off for him, it probably put him in a position where he has an understanding of college and the dynamics. And, you know, he's obviously an unbelievable coach, and he can coach at any level. Now, he hasn't done it, you know, day to day at the college level. But I would imagine the time off that he's had, he's taken a deep dive into what kind of impact he could have at the college level. And I think he'll be great. I think he'll do an unbelievable job. I think he knows exactly what he wants to do. I think he has a very clear understanding of what goes into winning and what he needs to have, you know, winning be impacted by how he structures his staff, how he structures NIL, how he structures his team, how he wants to play. You know, here's a guy that, you know, a lot of times I think for a guy to go to the, from the NFL to college, you sit there and say, well, he's not really been a part of any personnel decisions. That's all he did. And he spent an enormous amount of time on it. So him going to college and identifying the players that he feels are going to help North Carolina get to a level he wants to, He did that for a good portion of his head coaching career. So he knows exactly what he's looking for and what he wants to get done. So I think he'll do an incredible job.
Talk with Bulls coach Billy Donovan here on the Mullin Haas Show. So we'll ask you a question about your team because of the return of Patrick Williams Friday, expected to make an impact. But how do you balance getting him back into the rotation with Matez Buzelis, who's been very good in his absence? So you've got the development of a rookie first-round draft pick with Patrick Williams, who has to play a role on your team. How do you balance that, Billy, and how is it different now since Matez has maybe emerged more than he did before?
Yeah, you know, this is I think, the challenge for us, you know, staff-wise, even for our team. And you guys mentioned it before. You know, one of the things that happened the last couple of years that I felt like with the way we were playing, we were probably in a 9-man rotation. At times now, because of the pace and speed we're playing at, you know, one of the things that's happened is if you look at the number of possessions right now for our team per game, you know, we may be first or second or third, but there's a lot of possessions. And it's really, really hard minute-wise for guys to play incredibly long stretches. Like, I would say with the pace and speed we're playing with, to be effective and efficient, there's probably nobody on our team that could play the whole first quarter. It's just be physically too much. Then you're looking at 82 games, and then you're dealing with the medical guys of, okay, how do we practice? How do we get these guys fresh? How do we still, you know, grow and learn? The challenge for us is going to be, one, Lonzo coming off the wrist injury is on a minute restriction, and we've moved him up to 20 minutes. Patrick's going to come back with a minute restriction. So now you start to think about, okay, how do you get him back into the flow of things, knowing that you have a certain amount of minutes that he has to play with? So that may mean him coming off the bench for a little bit. That may mean him eventually coming back into the starting role. You look at the fact that if he's on, let's say, a 20 to 25 minute restriction, do you shorten the game for him and now all of a sudden don't start him and bring him back in a little bit later? But I do think for Julian Phillips, for Matez, their development for our team, we need those guys. So they need to be out there. I do think one of the things we got to evolve into is when you have Vooch out there or you have, you know, Jalen Smith out there at the center spot, they're not necessarily creators. I think Matez and Julian Phillips in particular will get better playing off the dribble. But if you end up playing, let's say, Matez and Julian together with Jalen, you don't really have three ball handlers, and you're trying to play really fast. So you've got to have more handling out there. And because we've been relatively deep at the guard position, one of the reasons we tried to play faster was to try to get all those guys involved in utilizing your skill set. So the minute part of it to me is not as important in terms of a guy playing 25 to 20 as much as, are we creating a style of play and an identity on a nightly basis? You know, and it's going to have to be some form of sacrifice. But I do think Matez has done a very good job. I think he continues to get better. I think he's going to be able to do more things off the dribble as he gets more experience. I think Julian has gotten better. He's improved. And, you know, that's been kind of one of the things we've had to work through a little bit, is at that forward position with Patrick and Julian Phillips and Matez. There's three guys kind of in the same spot. So we're going to have to evolve out two of those guys at times being on the floor together. But then how do you balance and match it where you have enough ball handling and play creation out there as well? So I don't necessarily think Patrick coming back for a period of time, he's just going to have a minute restriction. And I don't think that that's going to bleed into Matez. And I think getting to a point of even Matez and Patrick playing together is something that would be good, because Patrick, in his, you know, several years into the NBA, he's kind of developed at least a skill set where he can play off the dribble a little bit more. I think Matez, being 25 games into his career, that's something he's going to evolve into.
Coach, I'm very curious about, I know you teach the game, I know you learned the game, and you were a gym rat as a player, and I think that a lot of guys in the NBA, we understand how they learn the game, and you play morning, noon, night, and you go to the park, and we've all been through it, and obviously not as good as players that make the NBA, but how did Josh Giddey learn the game, and how do you teach him the game? It feels to me like, being from Australia, it's just kind of a different style. It's a different understanding? I mean, he almost learned it on the national team, it feels like. Is there a difference in the way people from different places have learned the game? We always said in Chicago, you know, we called it West Side, which was make it, take it. And you developed a lot of shooters and a lot of scores. In Philly, supposedly, their half-court game was the minute the ball hit the rim, it was available for possession from either team, and they developed rebounders and guys that could dunk the ball right back. I just wonder how they developed the game in Australia. Does that matter?
You know, I think it's a good point. I know growing up in New York, right, like you're outside playing in the park and there's a bunch of guys out there waiting to play, and the last thing you're going to do when it's point game is take jump shots. Everything was to the rim. You know what I mean? Just because there's no net. The wind's blowing. You're outside, right? Everything's to the rim. You know, the thing that's interesting, and I've always thought about this to your question, like I recruited Mike Miller. You know, he was from South Dakota. And I just, Mitchell, South Dakota, I couldn't understand how a kid from Mitchell, South Dakota had an unbelievable feel of how to play the game the way he did. He was 6'8", 6'9", and he was playing with guys that were all 6 feet on his high school team. I played for a great high school coach, and he had brothers that played as well that were older than him. But I was always so amazed, you know, and I always would ask him, like, how did you learn? Because he had such an unbelievable feel. I think for Josh, you know, I think all his experiences have probably helped him. The one thing with him is he's very, very instinctive. And that's the one thing I'd say about Mike. And I don't know how those guys get it. There's just an instinctiveness to them, whether it's passing or seeing things as it's developing. And I don't know if he was born that way or if his experiences, you know, I know his dad was a really, really terrific player, you know, over in Australia. I'm sure he had a huge impact on him while he was growing up. But, you know, it's just he has a real good knack and instinct for the game, just, you know, being able to kind of make plays. Now, you know, one of the things we've talked to him a little bit about is the turnover piece, because he is a guy that can really thread the needle and really make some unbelievable creative passes. But you want to let a guy obviously play on his instincts. But I'm not quite sure, you know, it's probably a combination of his dad being a former player and playing professionally, you know, in Australia. It's probably his national team, probably what he's been exposed to. It, you know, it could be, you know, for a guy like Mike Miller, I knew that, you know, he told me when he was younger, he was never really that much taller than everybody. So he kind of learned to play with the ball in his hands, and he grew to be 6'9", and that skill set was still there with him. So I think it's probably a combination of a lot of things that's put him into that situation of him learning how to play the game.
Great stuff, Coach. Thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Always fun to talk.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
No, great catching up. Thank you.
Take care.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.